Let's take a few moments tonight and bring to remembrance and catch up a little bit. And those that were not here will be able to catch up with us. Let's open our Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Genesis again, please. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 in the English Bible. Let us make man in our image. Now, look back up at verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Now, you'll find that. Let it be. Let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let the waters, and so forth. And that is translation of the Hebrew word be. He actually said, earth, bring forth. Light, be. Light was. Now, the very same words are used here. Let us make man in our image, when he actually said, man be in our image. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So as we talked about, particularly last night, he was holding that lifeless body that he had created out of the dust of the earth. That was not man. That was man's body. And I might add right here, to any time you can get any kind of revelation that will stop strife in your thinking and in your household, then you really need to get a hold of it, whatever it is. And this is one place where there's strife and should never be, particularly in the body of Christ. And that is the male-female argument, particularly when it comes to the Bible and so forth. Man is a species. There are male men and female men. Man is the species, just like there are male tigers and female tigers. So don't let the world sow that strife into your family and into your own thinking. Now, when he said that, those words were filled with his spirit, giving birth to man's spirit. And you notice here it says, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Now, he did this same thing to Isha. That was Ish's wife. They were Ish and Isha before they were Adam and Eve. Ish and Isha, those Hebrew words, when I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I know people that are. And you can see in those two words, God in the middle of them. And he married them, and until they did what they did in disobedience to him, he was in their union. So now he spoke words of dominion, and words of dominion are the words substance of God's faith that brought man into being a living
created being. He became a living, speaking spirit like God. Now, he was to do what God did on his plane, on his level. We always think about man down here below God. God doesn't think about man like that. He always thinks about man on his level, on his equal. Now, I've had people say this to me and said, Brother Copeland, you mean to tell me, you're talking about the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, you mean to tell me a human man could understand God? Well, yeah, if God's the teacher. God is God. He can make a toad frog understand God if he wants the frog to know. Thank God. Some of us frogs are going to get it. Amen. You understand? All of that is born out of religious unbelief. We are joint heirs with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't sell him short or cut him short. How can you cut him short? You thought you were cutting you short. You cut you short. You're what it's all about. Mm-hmm. I hear that too. Well, you know, now Jesus is what it's all about. Well, that's true from our perspective, but from his perspective, we're what it's all about. Yeah. If we were not what it was all about, he could have just stayed home. And if he was interested in you being sick and broke and dead and all that, all he had to do is leave you alone, partner. You were getting there real, real well. Amen. So our whole thinking needs to be renewed. Get up out of the religious ditch and get on up here in the blood and in the name and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and take full advantage of everything he's done for us. Hallelujah. Only by taking full advantage of what he's done can he receive full satisfaction from doing it. Amen. Hallelujah. You're the same way with your children. Amen. I had one man said, I don't know why this guy is, I can just see his face when he said it. He said, that fool kid of mine this morning said, I didn't ask to be born. And I said, well, if you had, the answer would have been no. I don't know. Now, that may be God's attitude towards religion. Man, I mean, to think that God would do what he did and go through what he went through to get us back in full place. You'll be in heaven a million years and not ever understand all he suffered for us. Because when we get there, he ain't going to talk about it anymore. Because since you're there, you know enough. He don't want to rehearse all that pain and rehearse hell. No. We'll hear a whole lot about the resurrection. Amen. And all that happened after that. Praise God. Amen. Well, I got to get back to business. Would you guys help me with this thing get done? I'm tired of climbing these stairs. Thank you very much. Now, there's a lesson in this. Did you notice how quickly those guys bounded towards that platform and grabbed that podium? You know why? They've been well trained. Now, so have the angels. Didn't Jesus say, I could call legions of them? In one place, 12 legions of angels. There's at least 6,000 in a legion. And it only takes one of them big ones I was in a little church in Southeast Texas, and I said something one night that was not all that Baptist. And there was a Baptist fella there, and it made him mad, and he just got out and butt up and stormed out. Little church, he couldn't help but know it. The whole church wasn't big as this section right here. And he stormed away. And several days later, I noticed he came back in. He came in the back door, and he took the first seat right there by the back door. And he said, just sit there like this. Well, about halfway through that service, his eyes got big and his mouth just dropped. And he went kind of limp and scooted down in that pew a little bit. And he was this way for a good hour. And the service was over with, he just kind of limped out. And I thought, what's the matter with him? So a few days later, he said, Brother Copeland, I got to talk to you. I have to apologize to you. And I said, what for? He said, you made me so mad I couldn't hardly breathe the other night. And he said, I swore I was going to go home, get my Bible, and prove you wrong. And he said, I didn't really do what I said I was going to do until later. And he said, sure enough, I got my Bible, and I was wrong. But he said, the Lord got right on me. He said, listen, you better repent of this. You're in trouble. And he said, you need to go back over there and repent. And he said, I told the Lord, no, I'm not going. And he said, you better. And he said, I figured maybe I better. So he said, I told the Lord, I'm going in there one more time. And if you don't do something to prove to me that this is of God, I ain't never going in there again, and I'm never going nowhere like it. And he said, that's the reason I just sat on that front, that very back pew back there. He said, about halfway through your message, he said, suddenly my eyes were open. He said, Brother Copeland, you know on television that Mr. Clean, that bald-headed guy, great big guy that stands up there like got a big smile on his face? I said, yeah. He said, there's a man standing right behind you and kind of on the side of you. And said he looked like Mr. Clean. Said he is big. And he said he stuck so close to you wherever you go. He said you can't see light between the two of you. Well, I was glad to hear it. I knew he was there, but I had never seen him. I didn't know he looked like Mr. Clean. And he said, you'd be preaching along. And he said, you'd kind of start winding down a little bit. He said, he'd lean over and say something in your ear. And you'd go like that, and here you'd come. He said, I know I must have looked kind of funny. I said, yeah, you really did. He said, but I thought, oh, dear God, I'm glad I didn't tangle with him. Well, you've got one, too. Or more. Hallelujah. There's people here tonight need to hear this because it's just staying so right up top of my spirit. Now, notice, God blessed them and said unto them. Now, the big point here, we've talked about it every night, and we'll talk about it again here for a few moments. When God said, man be in our image, have dominion, man didn't hear that. He became a living being like God. But he was made, God made them. God created man, not the body. The body wasn't the man. The man is the spirit. You can live without your body, but your body can't live without you. So it was the spirit being, the eternal man. He created him with words of dominion. And that, in the hands of Satan, has become a central problem in the human family. Because it's that built-in desire to dominate, to have dominion. It's there. It should be there. You were born to dominate, but you were not born to dominate people. I asked the Lord one time, I said, what's the biggest problem in the church? That quick he answered me. And answered me so bold. I mean, I didn't hear it with my natural ears. Well, I kind of did. Let me put it this way. If you'd have been there, you wouldn't have heard it. But I heard it all over. My eyebrows, everything heard it. He said, your dogged determination to correct one another. And then over a period of time, he began to teach me about that. Now, somebody, the pastor's a church up the road there, they don't have any business coming down here and trying to correct Keith or somebody that's chosen to go to this church. I don't care what he teaches. I mean, I don't care if he's teaching a Sears and Roebuck catalog. That ain't none of your business unless you go to church here. You understand? That's the area that he was talking about. You dogged determination to correct one another. Well, where does that come from? Well, it comes basically from that built-in desire to dominate. And then it comes from a total abandonment of the commandment of love. Now, when this becomes a commandment, you get rid of all that. So you have to deal with the commandment before you can ever deal with the blessing. Love is the one that said the blessing. He's the one that spoke it. He's the one that created you. Love himself. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. The reason Jesus commanded to love. It is a commandment from the commander-in-chief of the body of Christ. It is a general order to the body of Christ. It is a direct order to every individual in the body of Christ. How many of you have been in the military? You remember indoctrination and in what they call it, indoctrination, familiarization, induction into United States Armed Forces or some big thing like that. It was the first step in renewing you forever. Amen. Take off all your clothes, shave off all your hair. We're going to start over again. And the first thing, and that's right. I mean, that's what they intend to do. Get rid of everything you ever knew and start you over again. Now, the very first thing, number one was you got to obey orders. And they started out with the general orders, in my case, the United States Army. They started out with general orders of the Army. And then came the orders of a superior, and then came the orders of the day. I mean, it comes down, you know, in different levels of orders, but you're supposed to obey them all. And you just hear that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Well, this is an order from heaven, and it is not to be disobeyed. Amen. The problem with it is not remembering it. That's right. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. He said, I call you to remembrance the commandment the Lord gave to us apostles that we give you. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. These two, for all of the law and the prophets hang on these two. So there's no way that the blessing which the prophets prophesied to us, the prophets prophesied the New Testament into being, there is no way the blessing can function outside the love of God. And Jesus made it a commandment so that it will be first and foremost in your mind and thinking all the time, I am not to disobey this. You may have reasons to disobey it, but whatever they are, either fix them or ignore them, but you keep the command of God. Now, as long as you do, what happens? All these blessings, Deuteronomy 28:1, you remember? If you hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God,
to keep his commandments and do those ordinances that I command you this day, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you. So there you have it. Amen. All of it hangs on those two commandments. Yes, thank you, Lord, I will. I had a vision. I was in my prayer time preparing for a meeting, and I saw this. I saw this fella hanging some curtains. And he'd hang one and he'd turn around and get another one, and that one would fall. And so he'd go back over there and he'd pick up that one, he'd hang that, and he'd come back over here and get this, and that one would fall. And when I first saw it, it looked like one of those old silent movie comedy routines, you know, something like Buster Keaton would do. I mean, and I got tickled. It was funny. I said, look at that goofy. Look at him. And he finally got all tangled up in these curtains, and they were great big curtains. And he's all wrapped up in them, and they just pulled him down, and the curtains are all over him. And I'm kind of chuckling at it, you know. And then I got to looking closer. And one curtain was faith, another curtain was righteousness, another curtain was healing, another curtain was prosperity, another curtain, each one of the gifts of the Spirit, there was a curtain there, and he got all tangled up in this mess, and he couldn't untangle it, and it's all over him, and he's getting frustrated, and he didn't know what to do. And then it got serious, that it drew up close to me, and I could see little small snakes in there, and they're nipping at it. I said, what is this? What do you mean? What kind of snake is crawling around in curtains of faith and righteousness and healing and salvation and the gifts of the Spirit? And then I looked over in the corner, and there was this massive, huge, golden rod. And on that rod, in bold engraving, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And the word of the Lord came booming out to me. And he said, quit trying to hang the curtains. Hang the rod. The curtains are fastened to the rod. I mean, just came booming out of it. I leapt up from where I was. I began to praise God. I see it. Faith works by love. Righteousness works by love. How can you have righteousness without God, who is love?
Amen.
It absolutely revolutionized my whole way of life. Amen. And I'll tell you right now, there's a whole bunch of things started working. We ought not be struggling all the time to receive from God. The struggle is wrapped up in what I just talked to you about over the last 10 or 12 minutes. It's all inside that commandment. Because if you violate the commandment of love, then fear is there, because perfected love casteth out fear. Well, if you violate love, then fear is right on the heels of it. Now, fear is more than just being afraid. That is just a manifestation of fear. Fear's job is to affect your thinking, affect everything you see, affect everything you hear. We're going to build a new church. Oh, we don't need a new church. That is fear that said that. Well, I don't see how fear is tied to that. You don't need to see it. You just know that fear is behind any I can't, we won't. Do you really think we should? That's all Satan said to Isha. Just a little question.
Now, she didn't know. She's just standing there dealing with it. She hadn't got any fear yet. But then she ate. But when she turned around and gave to her husband to eat, the Bible said she had been deceived. He was not. And the blessing of God was his armor, his power, his authority over this whole planet. And he didn't exercise it. He had authority over everything that could walk, creep, crawl, fly, swim. Satan could not. He could not come in there and talk to him directly. He's plumb out of his class. He couldn't come directly in there and talk to him anymore than he could come directly in and talk to God. And he didn't get to do that until after he got Adam's authority. Then he did. But that came to a close too. Because Jesus stripped him. Amen. You see where we're going with this? Now what happened when Adam did what he did? Since he was deceived, she was deceived, he was not, he committed high treason right then and there. Sin entered the world and death by sin. Now he had all the attributes of God. He had faith, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness. All these things were already in him and functioning 100%. When he fell, everything was still in him, but it was twisted 180 degrees. That's where we get the word wicked, wicker, twist. It was twisted 180 degrees so that everything that had been God that was going that way, or we'll say everything that was going north, going up, going God, suddenly it was all still there. Righteousness was still there. Love was still there. Faith was still there. All these things were still there, but they did a 180 degree twist because now he's separated from God and suddenly he's connected to Lucifer. Now is Satan, and now he's connected with him, and Satan got up above him. Now what was faith is fear. Now what is love was hate. Same spiritual force tied to the wrong God and going in the wrong direction. What had been courage, disappointment, disorder, all fear-based. Now, what is fear? Fear is faith. It is in the same category. It is in the same spiritual realm. It's a spiritual force. It used to be faith. It still is. It's faith in death. Fear of a dangerous animal is faith in that animal's ability to hurt or kill you. And it'll cause you to do things. It'll move you. It'll cause you to be afraid of things you don't even need to be afraid of. And the Bible tells us that the master fear is the fear of death. In the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, and Jesus went to the cross and delivered us from the spirit of death, who all our lifetime we were subject to bondage. We have not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, oh, daddy, father, I have a father, I have a daddy, and he's rich, 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 and he's big, 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 and he loves me as much as he does himself. Oh, yeah. Did Jesus keep the commandment? Did he love the Lord his God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind and strength? Yes. Had to have. If he hadn't, it'd have been a sin. Huh? Well, did he love his neighbor as himself? Then it'd be a sin for him not to love you. Because he don't love you because you're tall, short, big, little, brown, white, black, yellow. That's not the base for love. You know why he loves you? Because his daddy told him to.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he does what the Father says.
Yes. Yes.
And he's not going to sin by not loving you for you or anybody else.
Amen.
He loves you because he keeps that commandment. He said, I walked in my Father's love.
Yes.
That's the way you kept from sinning. The Bible says when you walk in love, you satisfy all the Torah, all the law.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay. Now then, there is good understanding now. What Adam heard, this is the very first word. Ish heard this. The first word that ever hit a human ear. Very first thing. So this would be, it would have to be the perfect will of God for all humanity for all time. Because God never changes. There was no sin in this earth. Amen. So, I mean, and the first of the humans were standing right there. He spoke this to Ish. And then when Isha was born, now, I better not get into that. Once she was created, then of course it was spoken to her. Now, whether or not the Father spoke it to her or whether or not Ish spoke it to her, it doesn't make any difference. Both of them had command authority. Amen. Now, well, you wouldn't get that. For additional tapes, but I'm just going to tell you what it is, and you can do whatever you want to do with it. All right. She heard it while she is still part of him. Now, to understand the things of God, you have to get out of this backward, fear-filled, negative environment and get over out here in this place that was totally, absolutely clean. There was no demon there. There was nothing there that could keep. I'm telling you, every bug heard what God said and understood it. We got an animal standing here talking. And it didn't seem to upset her at all. She didn't say, oh, did you hear what that snake said to me? I didn't know snakes could talk. Can a snake talk? Ish. Snakes is talking. I don't know that they couldn't all talk. Go home and mess around with that a while. Now don't go off and say Brother Copeland taught that all the animals could talk before the fall. Or you can go say that if you want to. I mean, somebody's bound to go tell something like that. What do I care whether they could or whether they couldn't? They could understand what God said because he talks snake. He speaks horse. He speaks camel. He speaks mosquito. I guarantee you he can speak where the flu virus can hear him too. It can understand what you say. Jesus said, I will, be thou made whole, be thou cleansed. And the leprosy departed. Well, it didn't leave because it couldn't understand what he said. Now, can we get back on this now? I knew you was going to get me off out into that if I ever. I love what I do. I think I'd do this if I wasn't even called. I wouldn't. I'd be out of line if I did. Now, God blessed them. The word translated bless there. Now, blessing means several different things. It means to say something good about or to. It means to declare. It means to empower. It means all of these. And in this particular place, it's the Hebrew word barach, which literally means to declare. So God is declaring. He declared, light be. He released a force known only at that time to this material universe. He wasn't creating heaven. What he used to create heaven? I don't know what he used to create heaven. The Bible don't tell me what he used to create heaven. I intend to question him about it when I get there one of these days. But when he said light be, that is not when he created the sunshine. When he said light be was the release of his glory, and this kind of glory, this part of his glory was the part that created matter, material things, planets, stars, and a bag to hold them in called a firmament. The thing is still expanding at the speed of light. So he released something known at that time as far as we're concerned. You understand? He released something known only to this bag of objects, this material universe that he created for mankind. He didn't create it for himself. Eventually, he planned to move here. He's still coming. But he didn't create it for himself. He created it for us. So now the very power that he released that created all of this is exactly the same power with the same words that he used to bless or to crown Ish and Ishah with his glory. What glory? Let there be light glory. Are you with me here now? Now there's more to his glory than that, but this element of glory is what we're dealing with here. Now this glory, this blessing that he placed on and in this man is what clothed him. He had never seen his body. Somebody said, well, how do you know he wasn't naked? He wasn't naked. He only got naked after he sinned. He was clothed from the inside out. He had never seen his wife's physical body as a physical body. All he saw was the glory of God. And he thought, Well, look at that. Yeah. Man. This glory was and is the blessing. It's not a blessing. It is the blessing. All other blessings are part of the blessing. It is the management power of this whole bag of stuff.
It has authority and power, creative in its nature, over everything in this bag, including the planets, the stars, including everything that swims, breathes, walks, creeps, flies, everything in this planet that has anything to do with this planet, including the spiritual beings that live here. The blessing, the empowerment on this man, on this human, is the same power that created all of this to manage it all with, in the same creative and on the same creative level as him. Did not Jesus do that? And he did it with the old Abrahamic covenant. And he said, in the new covenant, you will do everything I've done and more. And better works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. I've got it fixed for you. And the Father that dwelleth within me, he's the one that does the works. And I'm going to pray the Father, and he's coming. Well, he's here, right? Well, it's time to go to work. It's time for the better stuff. I said, how could you do more than Jesus? Well, you can't do more than Jesus. You do more than Jesus did then in that state. Amen. Now, this is what Ish heard. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. That's my desire for every man, woman, and child, all humanity for all time. Multiply. Well, now, did multiply mean just have babies? Well, it ain't going to be too long. This Garden of Eden going to be filled. We've got we have the geographical dimensions of it. It was the area of Iraq without any desert, without any bad people. Amen. And when you having babies, however fast you want to have them, without any pain, without any problem, and all the creative power of God, it ain't gonna take you all that long to fill up that little place. Amen. And ain't none of them dying.
That's right.
And it's going to look real good. They're all going to be real wealthy for a while. Yeah. But when Ish and Isha, when their family reaches somewhere around 40, 50 million, he's going to have to start keeping books or something. Nah. He just continues to use the blessing. The blessing's job was to replenish. Now, the word, English word replenish is really not a good translation. The word there translated replenish means to fill up the earth. Fill it up with what? Everything that's already there. People. The Bible said there was gold and precious stones and silver on top of the ground. Amen. Well, you don't have to mine it. All you have to do is speak it, and it just expand and expand and expand until it's all over the earth. There wouldn't be nobody out digging a hole trying to put it in it and hide it. Isn't that dumb? You dig gold out of the ground and then dig a hole and put it in it. That's almost as dumb as driving on the parkway and parking on the driveway. I mean, there's just something wrong here. I don't know. Anyway, be fruitful. This power that he is releasing on him right now is what populated the heavens with the stars and the planets. It was the very thing that gave birth to him. It gave birth to everything that he understands and knows. And now he is empowered with it. This power is to expand that garden and expand it and fill it 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 until the entire planet was the Garden of Eden. It would become the Garden of Earth, the garden spot of the universe. And God would look at it again and say, that's good. That's what he said about the garden. The only thing he said wasn't good is, oh man, the boy's alone.
Not good. And the boy was saying, that's right. That's right, Lord. I know that's right. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. Is there something we can do about that? He said, lay down. Go to sleep. I'll call you in a minute. Hallelujah. There is just that much joy in this. We know what happened. The blessing stopped. But then God met a man. He actually blessed Noah. Noah fouled it up. But it was working. How did he get in contact with Noah? He made covenant with him. He finally found... What was Noah's problem? The flood wasn't his problem. He obeyed God where the flood was his problem. His problem was he didn't teach his children. His kids were a mess. Only one of them turned out to be worth much. What did he say about Abram? He found a man that would teach his children. And so he could make a covenant with this man that would... That would not only include him, but it would include his seed. Now, you see, if you don't get anything out of this for right now, get this and remember this. Everything that happened after God spoke the blessing and released it on this man and woman, everything that's in that Bible... Every word every prophet ever spoke, everything that God ever did, everything that Jesus did, does, and will ever do throughout the ages to come, all refers to and has to look back at be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, and have dominion over it and subdue it. Because that was the perfect will of God for all men for all time. And everything he has ever done since was to get it back where it belonged. Everything you read in the Bible, I mean whatever you read, wherever you read it, take it back over there and read it right along beside of it. Because if it's in the Bible, it will not violate that blessing. Amen. And we studied and we looked and talked about Abraham. God told him, I'll make you fruitful, I'll multiply you, and I'm going to bless the whole earth through you. Isaac, Jacob. Now, Abraham had more than one child. All of them could have walked in the blessing had they chosen. Moses carried that out and made it a part of record. Said, I call you before heaven and earth, that I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life or choose the blessing so that you and your seed after you can live. Everybody in earshot of that day could have done that. But they didn't. They didn't choose it. They chose something else. Joseph's brothers chose something else. And eventually, because this man would not violate that blessing, he would not do it. He wouldn't do it from the time he was 17 years old, he had a dream and he hung on to that dream. He didn't have a Bible he could hang on to like you do and like I do. He hung on to those two dreams that he had right there together. And he studied them, then he hung on to them, and God had spoken to him, and he refused to violate those dreams. And the Bible said God blessed him. And he walked in it, and wherever he went, the blessing was functioning. The blessing was functioning. They sold him and the blessing was functioning. It blessed Potiphar's house until the man finally saw the blessing on him.
Yes.
He saw it on him. And he said, this man has God on him. Now, by the time Joseph was grown, by the time Potiphar owned him, it had become a matter of knowledge that some of those Hebrews have got something on them. Something special about him. That Abraham, you remember him? Woo-hoo-hoo. My. Wherever he went, he got rich. Is that or is that not the reputation of the Jews? That's the reason all governments everywhere hate them. They think that's the reason they hate them. Why? Wherever they go, particularly if they live and carry out the laws of Abraham, whether they walk by God or not, they're taught this from their youth. And anybody that'll walk in it and choose to be blessed, it don't make any difference if you're in Germany. It don't make any difference if you're in Venezuela. It don't make any difference if you're in whoop-de-doo, ha-de-ha. The Garden of Eden just begins to grow wherever you are. That's what it's supposed to do. Now, here again, let me remind you of this. Was there any sickness in the garden?
No.
Well, then what would be the job of the blessing, if it's going to turn your environment into the Garden of Eden, then it's going to have to get rid of that sickness, right? Then healing, the ministry of healing, the anointings of healing are part of the blessing. The blessing's not part of the healing. You get blessed when you get healed, but it was the power of this blessing being carried out in the anointing to heal. Because the blessing was the first thing ever said.
Amen.
Healing wasn't the first thing he said. Prosperity wasn't the first thing he said. Salvation wasn't the first thing he said. Adam didn't need to get saved.
Amen.
He needed power to run this thing.
Amen.
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 Are you getting it?
Yeah.
You didn't see it?
Yeah.
Boy, it's powerful, isn't it? It was the blessing that raised Jesus from the dead. It was the blessing that healed everybody he ever touched, every word he ever spoke. He never spoke anything except what his Father said, and he never said one word that violated the blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then, let's bring it down to this. It is impossible to please God without
faith.
Why? Well, I just don't understand that, brother. Yes, you can. You can understand it with one verse of Scripture. Genesis 1:28. Be fruitful. Multiply. That pleases God. And you can't do it without faith.
Amen.
Why? Because faith worketh by love.
Amen.
And faith is love's creative power. We understand that the worlds were created by faith God created the world. From something that does not appear or something you can't see. You can't see faith, you see the results of faith. So he didn't create it out of nothing. He created it out of faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance. Faith released, empowered, will manifest as a thing.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah.
God said, light be, light was. God said, firmament be. Faith, empowered by love himself, spoke the blessing. Then who was moving on the face of the deep? Shout it at me. Oh, yeah. But was there any
thing out there yet. Any material substance out there yet. Just the blessing himself. Moving on the face of the deep. And faith filled with love. Be. And the blessing power. Faith was the substance. And this planet, and the way it looked, and what it had in it, and its environmental envelope around it, was already inside God because he had already planned it before the foundation of the world. He already had its picture in here. And when he took that picture that he had already planned right down to the... I mean, we keep finding stuff. We thought the atom was the smallest thing. And then they kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And we ain't there yet. This thing is as infinitely small as it is tremendously huge. God is as small as he is big.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I don't care how little the bug is. I don't care if it's a T90 neutron. I got authority over it.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Are you following me now here? Are you still with me?
Yeah, brother.
What did that? Everything you see my coat? You know what that is? That's faith turned into a material. That's faith. That flesh, that's faith.
That's right.
Used to be dirt.
Amen.
That's the reason you girls ought to have a little more pity on us. We just dirt. But see that faith turned in. Faith was the substance of God's hope, that inner image and dream. He dreamed up this whole thing from the smallest, tiniest thing to the hugest of all stars and planets. And he released it at the speed of light. All of that substance, before you could see it, was faith. And when faith was released, the picture, which is called hope, which you and I get from the Bible. We see ourselves in the book. Jesus found himself in the book of Isaiah. And I dare say he found himself in every other book. But he preached about himself from the book of Isaiah. We find that dream in the book. And we feed it. And we dream it, and we talk about it, and we get thrilled with it, and we walk in it and talk about it and think about it until it begins to grow, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it starts taking upon itself faith, and it's about to come out of there. It's about to get born into this earth. I tell you, I've got 140 million souls inside me right now. I am pregnant. I tell you, we've seen over 60 million souls manifested in his ministry. I've got 140 of them in there, and I'm pregnant with them, and they're going to get born. Hallelujah! I had a citation 10 in me for 8 months. You wonder what a man looked like? He's pregnant. I was pregnant for 8 months with an airplane. But now I'm riding in it. I'm going home in it tonight. I'm going home very fast. But that's not the end of my dream. No, the Bible said God has a chariot that is as fast as the lightning from the east to the west. I'm going to get me one of them. 186,000 miles a second. I've already made plans with God. He's going to let me fly. And the first thing I'm going to say when I launch that thing, I'm going to shout, I got to get me one of these.
That's the way Gloria is going to be when she sees that heavenly mansion. Ooh, we love that one we got now. Because that was a dream inside her. She's been pregnant several times. But the last thing she gave birth to was the most beautiful home you've ever seen in your life. Oh, glory to God. I sat out there on that lake bank and just cried and praised and wept and glorified God. He dropped it in me in 45 minutes. She carried that thing 30 years. Yeah. We're living in it. Why? The blessing produced it. Now, take it up in the area of your needs like this. The men, particularly down the line a ways, Abraham learned it. He learned it in direct covenant with God. He saw God's footprints in blood. But see, the Bible said God had to do that in order to mark his mind. God's word wasn't any more true just because he said it in blood than it had been when he said it in the Garden of Eden. I mean, it couldn't have been any more true. But he had to mark this man's mind until he was fully persuaded that what God had spoken, he was able also to perform it. Now, you need to be doing the same thing. And you can do it with this written word. You can mark your mind to the point when finally the blood of Jesus gets so real inside you and you begin to consider Jesus instead of considering all that stuff that's around you, instead of considering how broke you are, you begin to think like a rich man, you begin to think like a wealthy woman. My God, my Lord God, my Father owns this whole thing and I'm a joint heir here, my Lord. Living in a $3 trillion economy and I'm broke. There's something wrong with that. And get out of there.
Yes. I'm out.
But you have to think out before you can be out. Because God has already declared you out. As far as he's concerned, you're out. You got out the moment you made Jesus the Lord of your life. But in his mind, in his way of thinking, the moment Jesus was raised from the dead, every human being ever born of a woman was free from the bondage of Satan. As far as he was concerned, it was done. And all you had to do was accept it. Now, don't let anybody talk you out of what heaven has given you. Now, faith. Let me break it down to you like this and we'll close it. The first faith you must develop is faith in the integrity of this written word. Amen. You have to settle this now.
Amen.
You don't adjust the word to fit your lifestyle. This word is not based on whether you like it or not. It is based on you functioning in and that blessing functioning on you. So that you subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And be blessed. That's what this is all about. That's what the do's and the don'ts are. That's what it's all about. It all goes back to Genesis 1:28. Now, make that decision. And make it so firm that a quality decision is a decision from which there is no retreat. It is a decision about which there is no more argument. It is settled forever. 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 That this word is final authority in your life. Now, your faith life is never going to be worth a plugged nickel until you make that decision and come to that. The next decision is, I'm going to live by it. The just shall live by faith. Well, think about it. Faith is the substance. He just handed you all the substance you ever figure out any way to use. Amen. It is the substance. So, then the decision to live under the rule of command. You're not a civilian anymore. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. And we have a commandment to love
the Lord our God, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to be good stewards of the commandment of love. Now, if you want to talk and preach on stewardship, that's where you start. You don't start with being a steward over money. If you make your decisions concerning always based on money, you're going to be wrong 99% of the time. That's the reason church boards and deacon boards and all that, that's the reason they mess up most of the time and lose the anointing in churches, because their decisions are money based. Instead of anointing based. Now, if I'm on the board and we're talking about building pastor a new library. Well, now, you know, we love pastor. You know, there's nobody in this church loves pastor anymore than me and Myrtle. I didn't have nobody in mind. Myrtle, just somebody I talk about. Myrtle and Bob Jack. Anyway. Well, Creflo's got Pookie in them. Amen. You know now we love Packer. But now, we need to be a good steward of God's money. Who ever heard of a pastor's study costing $150,000? I've been talking to that fellow that owns that little tavern over across the street. He's a nice fellow. And he said, on Sunday morning early, they don't ever have nobody in there. And he would be more than happy to set up a little table in the back with a little lamp back there for pastor to come in there and do his studying over there. Now, he's got a Bible and a concordance, and that's all the library he needs. $150,000. I don't care who he is. I don't want him preparing the message he's going to preach to me in a beer joint. Do you agree with that? Well, then, would you tell me why in the world that some of you would like for me to fly down here to preach to you in a flying beer joint? To save some money? And fight all them demons in that line out there, that security line? Well, I don't know, Brother Copeland. I had to come down here in that. Well, that's your fault. Get your dreamer out of the box and get it to working. You know, there is a better way than that airplane. That's when you and you're just there. There ain't nothing all that strange about that. To people that's done it, and I've done it. I didn't enjoy the flying part of it. But, doggies, I'll tell you, I was on the island of Jamaica, man. Y'all going anywhere?
No.
I'll get through here in a minute. I was in Jamaica, and the pastor's home was at the top of a set of stairs that were just about as high as the arch, not from the stage, but from here. And it's just this stairway that went straight up to his house. And over there, with this little church was at the bottom of two mountains. And, oh, my goodness. That's the darkest place I've ever been in my entire life. It is dark as the inside of a barrel. And you couldn't see. There wasn't but one man had a flashlight. And that is Deacon Lewis. Deacon Lewis quit his job and walked all over Jamaica getting to every meeting we got in. And I said, you quit your job? He said, yeah, I can take what you're teaching and get a better job. Amen. And he did. Amen. He wrote me back later and said, ooh, I got the best job I've had in my life. But anyway, he had a flashlight. He was the only one that had a light. And he was walking along behind me. Service was just over with. And there came a scream from up at the pastor's home. His granddaughter had died during the service. Now, she had a rheumatic heart, and they told her every day, "Now, baby, don't do nothing. You know, you could die any minute. You could fall dead any second now." And she was raised. She's 18 years old. She looked like she's about 12. But she was 18 years old, and she'd been raised hearing, "You're going to die any minute." Well, she died that night. And her mother found her up there after church. She went home and got up there and found her. And she screamed, "My baby's dead, my baby's dead, my God, my baby's dead." Well, I was staying in their home. And I heard that, and the power of God came on me. And in a way that I can't even explain. I don't know who he's trying. And I was about one step away from the bottom step up there. And I turned around and just grabbed Deacon Lewis's flashlight. And I stepped here. And when I made this step, I was on the top step. I have no remembrance of it. All I remember is I was just two steps. And it just seemed like it was just fine. It's just the most natural thing to me. It just seemed fine to me. I didn't realize what had happened. I remembered it. And all that. But I didn't realize what had happened until the next day. And I thought, how did that happen? But see, I wasn't mentally involved with it at all. I just took one step here, and the next step, I was at the top of that stairway up there. And to make a long story short, why in a few moments, the power of God, which I know now was the blessing of God when I go back and look at it, raised that girl up from the dead. And it was a glorious time. Amen. Now, faith is involved. But what I'm driving at here is faith in what? Faith in God. Well, yeah, that's a broad statement. Let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11, 22. But even when we read that, that translation is a little blind. If you look into a ...22nd verse, Mark 11. Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God." Well, now just to make that kind of statement like that, "Have faith in God." Well, I could make that statement and everybody in here be in agreement with me, and there'd be 2,000 different ideas about what God is, who God is, where God is. Have faith in what? Some people said God was in that stump. So other people said, you know, this or that or the other. So how do I have faith in God? Well, the Greek text that this was translated from literally says, "Have the faith of God." Well, now that changed it some, didn't it? Or another one says, "Have the God kind of faith." Now that's literally what Jesus is talking about, because that's what he did. But now, where is his faith? Just to say faith in God, you can't have faith in anything or anybody without knowing what they've already said. Well, I got faith in Kenneth. To do what? Well, I got faith Kenneth's going to pay my rent. Uh-huh. You better find out what I said about your rent before you start believing that. You might get disappointed. Amen. I might help you believe for your rent. If God said pay your rent, I'd do it. But you will not know it unless I say it. Just hoping I would, you don't have any base for your hope. But now what about this, Mike? What if you and I sat down and drew up a contract, and in there were statements of when I was to pay your rent, how I was to pay your rent, and down here I signed my name, I put your name up here, and I signed my name down here, subject to all of my heirs, estate, and all this, and I signed it, and I did this to it, and then I said, "Where's your knife, Mike?"
We're going to shed some blood. We're shedding blood now. This, and let the blood drip down on that piece of paper. You got any trouble believing that?
Nope.
Not if I got money enough to pay the rent. Right. Amen. Amen. See how it changed?
Yes.
From just have faith in something. Mm-hmm. But when somebody has sworn an oath, and that blessing in the book of Genesis, in other scripture, is called the oath of God. When he said it to Abraham, what did he say? I'll multiply you. I'll cause you to be fruitful, and I'll bless the whole earth with you.
Thank you.
Those that bless you, I'll bless. Those that curse you, I'll curse. Then he signed it in blood.
Hallelujah.
Now I got something to believe. Because when I go to Galatians 3:13, it said, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, being made a curse for me. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on me through Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, everything promised to Abraham, Jesus was the seed of Abraham. So everything promised to Jesus, everything promised to Abraham is mine. In full. It is mine. It is a blood sworn oath. Jesus of Nazareth happens to be my blood brother.
Amen.
Now, me being Native American, I really don't. Must, I don't like that word, Native American. I'm an Indian.
Glory to God.
Just what I am. Man. That means something to me. I have a covenant consciousness about me because it's in my background. I knew more about covenant when I was a little bitty boy than I did anything else. And when I found out that what I was studying here was the new covenant, I just went into a tailspin, man. I thought, why are people preaching this? This is a blood oath. Well, now you can see, have faith in what? God. Well, how? Have faith in what he said he would do. And you keep tracking it back and tracking it back and you track it back and you track it back and you track it back. You finally going to get to Genesis 1:28.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
I'm blessed. Woo! I am an heir. Now I'm at a point where I must declare my faith in the blessing. I have on me the power to get wealth. I have on me the power to get health. I have on me, not just on me, Abraham had it on him. I have it in me because the Holy Ghost has come to live in me and he is the blessing himself. He is all of these things and I am born of him, created of him. The Bible says I'm a child of the light. I'm born of the light. And then it just boldly says, you are light. Let there be light. Okay. Put on the armor of light. Yeah, amen. Jesus walked in it and other men couldn't see it. The light walked among us and they loved darkness better than it did the light. So what did he do when they tried to kill him? He just pulled that blessing up around him. And by having faith in God, faith in the blessing, faith in the written word, faith in his love. And he hid himself, the scripture says. And he walked out from among them. And they couldn't find him. And you can do the same thing. Now you're going to have to develop it. How? Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Let's go for a specific release of faith. We talked about the offering tonight. We can talk about release from debt. Don't be so quick to just blab out some kind of prayer or just start blabbing some kind of confession. There is a form of confession of faith that you need to be involved in all the time. All the time. All the time. Get all the fear junk out of your vocabulary. Get the word death out of your vocabulary. Get poor out of your vocabulary. When they call poor boy, don't laugh, just run. Get out of there as fast as you can. When they call poor boy, I don't answer. I don't eat at a poor boy restaurant. Amen. Now, I don't have anything against those people. I'm just not going to poor boys to eat. If he wants to be poor, well, that's his business. I'm not going to name my restaurant poor boy. If I had a restaurant, it'd be rich boys.
Yeah.
Because I refuse to call myself anything else.
Yes.
Not through some sort of arrogance or something like that. That has nothing in the world to do with it. I am ordering my mouth to develop faith in that blessing.
Amen. Amen.
You can't please God without faith. You can't please anybody without faith.
Amen.
I don't care who it is. Without faith, you can't please them.
That's right.
Yeah, I love you, Gloria, but I don't believe nothing you say. Boy, that ain't going to go over good at all. I didn't mean that, baby. I was just teasing. Yes. Amen. We going right home in a minute. Well, I'm not but 70. So... And with a young wife like that, oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Let's go home now. Nah, I better finish what I'm doing here. Oh, me. I'm glad y'all are just family. I wouldn't act this way out in public. There is conversation that is continual all the time, and it's part of what Jesus said. He said, you are condemned by your words. You're justified by your words. And you will stand judgment for every empty, idle, non-productive word that comes out your mouth. Now, that includes humor that's outside the blessing. Humor is great. A merry heart does good like a medicine. But you ought to be laughing about something other than something at somebody else's expense. Or some filthy something that's outside the blessing. Amen. I mean, there's enough of us look funny enough to be laughing all the time. I mean, we don't need a bunch of trash to laugh at. Profanity is anything but funny.
That's right.
Why is God... damn a certain thing or another. Why is that considered profane? Because God is not the dammer. He's the blesser.
Yes.
It's so, on the other hand, wonderful to say, God bless a thing or another.
Amen.
You see the difference?
Yes.
The rest of it don't have no business coming out of your mouth.
Amen.
Why? Because what is in your heart in abundance is what your mouth is saying.
Yes.
So as you speak, you develop your vocabulary. You need someone else to help you because you say things you don't hear with your ears. Now, let me tell you right now, you all make a pact at the beginning, you're not going to get mad at one another. Because it won't be but a little while that one of you is going to say, well, that's your confession and I believe every word of it's coming to pass. What? What did I say? Well, you said something. I did not. Yeah, you did. Now, you can't get in strife over this. You just have to say, yes, ma'am, I understand. Yes, ma'am, that's right. Yeah, okay. And keep waiting for something that you know. No. But here's... natural talk needs to be dealt with. But now, you can be saying the right things and even saying Scripture and not any faith coming out. And that's not all the time bad. But that doesn't give you the choice of saying stuff that's not faith, because I'll tell you what,
If fear is present, it'll come out even when you don't want it to, because fear is obtrusive, it is mean, it is of the devil, and it'll force its way in and out of everything it possibly can.
That's good.
Amen. And it's there if you haven't repented and gotten into the line with love. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Well, don't get mad when you have a worried thought. Don't get mad when you have a fear thought. Don't get mad when you have a disobedient thought of some kind. Just rise up and say, hey, that's a red signal. I'm going to get this out right now. In the name of Jesus, I have no fear. My Father loves me as much as He does Jesus, and I'm not afraid of that. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Now the love of God rise up as in me. I stir up the gift that is in me, and I've not been given the spirit of fear. And just go to work right then. I mean, you don't wait till you feel like, go to work right then. And you repent of it, and you believe that He is faithful and just to forgive you that sin when you confess it. If it happens again, repent again. Jesus settled that. You miss it 490 times a day. Repent. Amen. The devil will come along and say, well, now you really fouled up, didn't you? Might as well go ahead and cuss. Look what you did. No, don't fall for that trap. Repent again. And again and again and again and again and again. Until it sticks.
Amen.
Amen. Now, as you continue to feed on the Word, feed on your CDs and DVDs and take the scriptures that cover the situation. If you believe in get out of debt, then get the out of debt scriptures that command you not to be in debt and so forth. Get them, record them with your own mouth on your little cassette recorder or something. Make a tape. If you got an answering machine, record it on the answering machine over and over and over and over and over. Turn the thing on when you go to bed at night. Be listening to your own self. Say these words. And what you're doing, you're getting ready. The decision was first, and now you're involved in the build-up. You're building up. We're getting ready. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I've been confessing I'm out of debt. Every time I say it, I see that $42,000 credit card bill. I'm out of debt. I said I was out of debt. I'm out of debt. You keep hearing that scripture, and you keep saying it. You just keep saying it. You just keep standing on it, and you just keep saying it. Now, I'm not saying it at this point to cause it to come to pass. I am saying it building up faith.
Yeah.
Faith cometh. Faith cometh.
Yes.
Faith cometh. Faith cometh. Now, let me talk to you preachers a little bit, because you have a problem that the general public doesn't have. You build up your faith and then you turn around and pour it out. You preach the Word. You're delivering the Word full of faith. You can't do that without draining some of your own spiritual force. And if all you ever build up your faith to do is preach, then there's not any faith there for your health. I got caught in that trap and my back blew up on me. And the Lord said, now, you spend all your time preparing to preach. And He said, that's wonderful. But when do you feed your spirit? He said, you're pouring your spirit out. You're pouring your life force out. The Apostle Paul said he did that. To build you up. You're receiving not only in your own spirit being built up, you're receiving part of my life tonight, because I can't get that anointing out of there without a piece of me coming with it. I mean, that's just the way the system works. Jesus had to pull aside and rest. And He rebuked His disciples for it. I said, okay. I was hurting. Oh. And I decided, okay, I'll do it. Now I'm out on the porch and I'm hurting and reading and reading and hurting. Hadn't slept for days. And I knew, I'm reading these healing scriptures and man, it just seemed like an empty bucket. I mean, just, whew. And I got over in the book of Ezekiel.
don't even remember now how I wound up in the book of Ezekiel with my back hurting. I don't know. But I wound up over there. And I got into something in there that just rang my bell. And I just went to work. I grabbed my tablet and not that little other book. And I'm just going and I got all of my pens and everything I'm writing. And the Holy Ghost interrupted me. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm in the Word. You told me to get in the Word. I'm in it." He said, "What are you going to do with it?" I said, "Bless God, I'm going to preach this." He said, "That's the reason you're so strong in the pulpit and you're so weak in your body when you get home." Now, it had gotten to the point that it has been a walk of faith to get back up over the top of that. And I'm just telling you now how to do this. You're in the build-up period. I was in the build-up period. I'm confessing it, yeah. Confessing my healing. It's working in me, and I know it's working in me. I woke up in the middle of the night one night. I woke myself up saying, "The blessing is working in me. The blessing is healing my body. The blessing is preparing my day for tomorrow." I never had that thought. I just heard that come up. I grabbed my book and wrote it down. God, I got to have that. The blessing is working in me. I went on back to sleep. I woke myself up several times that night saying that. Well, see, I'm telling you, it's up there ready. It's beginning to come out my mouth when I'm asleep. The abundance of my heart is beginning to show up here. So I went to healing school one morning. Oh, let me tell you this first. I began to be grateful by faith. Now, what was my development? I don't mind telling you what I used to develop it. I didn't try to get all of this out of the written word. In fact, I had to be careful with myself because I told you why. I'd get in the written word and, man, I'd take off on it like a dog chasing a rabbit. And so I thought, what can I do here? So, I know what I'll do. So I called Keith. I said, "I want that whole 19 CD set on all the healings in the Bible that you did at church." So he sent them to me. Now, this is what motorcycles with CD players are for. And I got on that bike, and me and Keith went riding. And I'm listening. He went through every healing in the Bible. And did just a fabulous job of it. And I'm growing now. He didn't say anything, really, that I didn't know. But he said a lot of things I hadn't thought of in a long time. And now I began to think of them as they came up from my spirit and not just my mind drifting around on this or that or the other. I'm building up. I'm in the build up. First was the decision. I made up my mind in the name of Jesus. I made the quality decision. I'm not putting up with this in my body. Jesus went to the cross for me. He healed me. And there were some other things involved in it too. There was degenerative joint disease and there was a lot of other stuff that showed up on that MRI in my back that I didn't even know was there. And so a lot of stuff is involved. And I'm confessing I am redeemed from every sickness, every disease. According to Deuteronomy 28:66, I refuse to have this stuff in my body. Made the decision. Now I'm in the buildup. And in that time, I began to realize I'm going to have to believe and be grateful by faith. Now Jesus said, have the faith of God, the God kind of faith. And then he qualified who could do that. And he said, whosoever. Whosoever can do this. Whosoever can have the faith of God. If Jesus is not your Lord, then make him your Lord while I'm talking here. It don't take me. I tell you, the Apostle Paul did it with one word in 1 second. Lord! That's all it took to get him saved. Meanest man in the New Testament. Killer. Got saved with one word.
For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and not doubt in his heart. Now the doubting in your heart has to be dealt with the word. Because all doubt comes from fear. It's fear-based, fear-dependent. But shall believe, those things which are coming out of his mouth will come to pass, then he shall have whatever's been coming out of his mouth. Therefore I say unto you, well see, he turned around and exercised it himself. He used it right then. He said, therefore, because I can have what I say, I declare to you, whatsoever thing you desire, when you do this, you believe you receive it, and you shall have it. But you're going to have to stay in forgiveness to get it. That's the 25th verse. But we're building up to that point. Don't be so quick to just blah, 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 blah. That's good. Go ahead and say it. But we're headed for a point of deliverance.
Amen.
You follow me here now? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And whatever's in there in abundance comes to pass. Evil, good. He named both things. So I'm out there on that porch and I'm hurting. I got two heating pads on my leg turned up just as high as I could get them. Had them tied on there with a sash off of my robe. I got them heating pads tied on there, and I'm trying to get them hot enough where they'll hurt worse than the other hurt. And I said, I'm grateful. Bless God, I'm grateful. I'm saying I'm grateful. I don't feel grateful. If I had asked my leg if it is grateful, it'd say no. If I was to ask the devil if I was grateful, he'd say no. But I didn't ask my leg, and I didn't ask the devil, and I didn't ask you. I went to the Word of God, and I'm grateful. And then I remembered something Keith said, and I said, hey, I hollered out loud. I'm out on the back porch of my house. I hollered out loud and said, hey, my right leg don't hurt. Glory to God. My right leg don't hurt. My arms don't hurt. My head doesn't hurt. Woo, glory to God. I got one good leg, two good arms, and a good head. And I am grateful for it. I'm grateful for the grass. I'm grateful for the air I breathe. I'm grateful for the trees. I'm grateful for this gorgeous home. By this time, I am out in the yard hollering, I'm grateful. And I turned around and looked at this gorgeous home God and Gloria built. And I said, I'm grateful for this. Oh, look where I live. Look at that lake out there. I am so grateful for that lake. I am so grateful. Oh, I am so blessed. I'm so blessed. And it quit hurting. What did I do? Well, I was exercising faith, yes. Think about what I just said. I am grateful. Why? I'm blessed. That's exactly right. I'm blessed. Everything goes back to Genesis 1:28. I kept doing that, kept doing that. Weeks went by. Months went by. All the time. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'd have whole days with no pain. Then a little pain once in a while. Well, I'm grateful. Glory to God. Kept getting better. Kept getting better. Kept getting better. I went to healing school one morning. We were in Washington, D.C. Gloria had just preached. And the word of the Lord had come to me. And I walked out there. And she was gracious enough to let me tell what I'd heard. I'm doing good. I was stiff and, you know, but I ain't hurting.
Amen.
I'm so grateful. I delivered the word the Lord had given me. I turned around and I started across that platform and the power of God knocked me flat on my back. Now what happened? Did it just suddenly happen? No, it suddenly happened over about 20 months. It built and built and built and built and built. Now, a few days before that, well, in fact, it began while I was out there in that yard jumping around. See, it begun coming out of my mouth without me having to even think about it. Well, now I'm saying things by faith. There's a difference. I said I was healed. Because I knew it's true and I believed it. But here, a few weeks later,
I said I was healed, and I want you to know, like you say down there in Texas, I want you to know that had hair on it when I said it. And you can tell it. It didn't come out of your mind. It came out of your guts. When it came out, all the devils of hell turned and ran, and all the angels said, "It's time to go to work, boys." And it exploded that morning up on that platform. And Dr. Weeder took me down there to the MRI place, and they did another MRI on my back. And that disc that had exploded and blown completely out, and there's a big chunk on the end of it, had gotten down in that nerve canal and stuck down in there. And there were some hernias on some other disc, but the big thing that started, and really behind all of this, you could see in the MRI cutaway of those discs, you could see discs that were half, two-thirds degenerative joint disease. You know, and that's what the doctors tell you. Well, you know, you can live with this and you can manage it, but you ain't never going to get rid of it. Well, they got one MRI down there that ain't got any on it. Because after that happened to me and we went home and did that second MRI, there wasn't any degenerative joint disease on there. And that disc was back and regenerated and standing up there like it was supposed to. And I've got thousands and thousands of witnesses because I had Dr. Weeder put it on a computer and we showed it on the big screens. Here's the old one. Here's the new one. Now, what did that? Well, God finally reached down and healed Kenneth. No, he didn't. He healed me when he raised Jesus from the dead. See what I'm saying? But there came a time. Now, what he would desire is you and I stay built up like that all the time and don't let that stuff get in there on you to start with. That is my fault. It wasn't God's fault. The ministry he's called me to is not what is dragging me down. It's all the junk I added to it. And my lack of diligence, I already knew that. He got on me about that 25 years ago. He shouldn't have had to get on me but once. But I let it slip. I guess I'm probably the only one that ever did that. You know? Oh, well, I've talked enough tonight. My goodness. But there comes a moment and you'll know it. And I love it. If you've never experienced it. It's really difficult. It's a difficult thing to describe. But there comes a moment. It always comes. Always. Always. I had the Lord say to me one time, he said, "Kenneth, every time you lay hands on the sick, healing always comes. It's always there." He said, I never fail. I'm always there. I'm never an absentee father, and I'm never an absentee Lord. He said, "I speak all day, every day. I'm leading and guiding you into all the truth every day, day in, day out." He said, "My people just don't hear and they don't receive." And then turn around and blame it on him for not doing anything. But there's something happens. You're studying those tapes or CDs or DVDs and you're listening. And every time you hear it, you say, "Yes, that's mine. I'll do that. I'm doing that. I'm a doer of the word. I'm not trying. I'm doing. I'm doing. That's me. I'm healed. I'm well." And all the time your head's saying, "We are not. We are not. We are not." You're lying. You're lying. You're lying. You're hurting. You like a mule kicked you. Now you're standing there saying you're healed. How could you be lying when you're saying what God's already said about you?
Amen.
If you can't do anything else, just say, "I'm blessed." And just shut up. I'm blessed. How are you, Brother Copeland? Blessed. People walk up to me and say, "Brother Copeland, how you doing?" I'm hurting so bad. My eyes are trying to jump out of the holes. And I say, "Blessed. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Glory to God." You remember the woman that fixed the prophet's chamber for the prophet? You remember her? This is a wise woman spiritually. She made this chamber there for him to just come by and stay and rest a while on his way. Well, when he did that, the blessing came on her, came on her farm, came on everything that family was doing, and they prospered even more. And she had a child because of it. She had been barren up to that point. Now remember, a period of time went by and that young man now
was working in the field with his family and the people that worked for them. And he had a sunstroke and fell out and died. She come running in. My baby. Jerked her coat off of the rack, I guess. Her husband said, "What are you doing?" "Going to prophet's house." He said, "What for? It ain't Sabbath. It ain't a new moon. What are you going down there for?" "Anything wrong?" She said, "No, all is well." She wouldn't say anything crosswise. Now, the reason why you don't see, the reason why they didn't explain that as the blessing every time they did it is because they were taught that blessing from the time they were old enough to hear. And they wrote it in there, and every Jew that knows anything about it understands what they're talking about. Unless they've been religiousized out of it. "All is well," she said. Man, she saddled up and headed down there. Got there, and he saw her. Why do you think he looked out and saw her? The blessing was there ahead of her. So what else? The Holy Ghost. Duh. The Holy Ghost got his attention. Said, "That woman coming." He looked at her and said, "A woman coming. Go out and check if anything wrong with her." And you remember Gehazi? What a loser this guy was. He runs out there. "Anything wrong?" "All is well." So he comes back. "All is well." But the prophet knows. He says, "Is there anything wrong?" She said, "All is well." And grabbed him by the legs. Fell at his feet and grabbed him by the leg and said, "All is well." Now she is like God, like her father Abraham, calling things that be not as though they were. Because she had faith in the blessing. That's all they knew about then was the blessing, man. So he tells Gehazi, "Go down there and do something." Well, he went down there. He didn't have nothing. So the prophet comes in. He lays down over this boy's body on the bed. He lays down over him. Now, why would he do that? Because his faith, anointing, the blessing is functioning. It is up and running. And he lays down on her. Why is it up and running? Is it up and running because he's a prophet? No. It is up and running because she grabbed him around the legs. Just like the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And that blessing power flowed out of him. The anointing flowed out of him. What did he say? He said, "Daughter, your faith made you whole." He didn't say, "My anointing or the blessing on me made you whole." He said, "Your faith made you whole." That woman stirred it up on him. Amen. He laid down on that boy and his spirit came back into his body. And when his spirit came back into his body and it slugged his body with supernatural power. And when it did, and he drew air in there, caused him to start sneezing. And he sneezed and sneezed and sneezed and sneezed and sneezed and sneezed. Amen. Well, what are you going to do? Yeah. You know what I'm going to do? The whole thing. All of it, I can figure out any way to do. The decision, the build up, the confession, the study, and then comes time to deliver. And when it comes, it's just something happens in your spirit. All of a sudden, it doesn't look any better. It doesn't look any different. It just looks like the easiest thing you ever did in your life. And you'll just rise up out of your seat and you'll start to say something. And before you can say it, wow, it comes roaring out of your mouth. And
the devil heard the Lion of the tribe of Judah. One more story and I got to go home. I was flying for Brother Roberts, and we were in a meeting, second meeting we'd been in, and my boss came around and said, "Now, you go to the invalid room, which is where they took ambulatory patients and people that just couldn't manage the crowds out front. And there is any, I've seen as few as 50, and I've seen as many as over 200 in there at the time. Every kind of thing from leprosy on, I mean, just terrible stuff." And he said, "You go in there, there's speakers in that room in there. You listen to every word he says, and then you'll have from 5 to 7 minutes from the time after he gives an invitation and turns it over to Brother Deweese, then you'll have about 5 to 7 minutes before he gets in there, and you prepare them to have hands laid on them, and you go back over his main points." So, man, I got my pad and my pencil, and I'm outlining what he's preaching, you know. So he walks in, and he surveyed the room. Well, when he walked in, of course, I just stepped back out of the way. Well, he walked over there where I was, and he grabbed me by the shoulder of my coat and pulled me over to him. He said, "Now you're going to do the praying. And you're going to lay hands on her." I could feel all the blood running down out of my face. I felt like, what? I didn't come in here to pray. The worst in the whole tent. He laughed. He said, "Now don't worry about it." He said, "I'll be right there. If you make a mistake, I'll correct it." I said, "All right." But he said, "Don't touch them until you're ready to release your faith." I thought, what? Okay. And I'm thinking in my mind, how am I going to know when I'm ready to release my faith? I ain't never prayed for anybody. And then I thought, well, I have learned the power in the name of Jesus. So and all, I'm just determining this, and I'm thinking, you know, this quick. I thought, I won't touch them until I speak the name of Jesus, and that's when I'll release my faith. And so he looked around and he said, "Here." Oh. There was a woman lying there on an old army cot that they had brought in an ambulance. She weighed about 75 pounds and her stomach was all swelled up here. She had a tumor in her stomach that was malignant, and she was so close to dead that just to have hands laid on her, she couldn't raise up on her side. Her nurse had to put her hands in her back and raise her up like that. And this is where we're going to start. Man. And I just, at that point, I was eager. I was thrilled and didn't have a clue what to do. But I thought, come on, you know, we're going to do it. Let's do it. And we walked over there, and, you know, I mean, he's pushed me up front, man. And he's standing right here. And I walked over there and I said, I didn't know nothing else to say. I said, "In the name." And I got that far. Didn't get the whole "nay." That's all I said. From right here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah roared, "You foul, unclean spirit, taking the wife of my sister, take your hands off God's property in the name of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve." Oh, man, I mean, every hair on my body was at attention. She went, and out come the tumor. She blew that thing as big as your fist. Looked like a jellyfish. Had all these old stringers hanging. And she blew that thing out on the ground. Jumped up off that bed and said, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And took off running around that tent.
him. She ran and ran and ran. That, my dear friend, is the delivery. That's what I'm talking about. And when it gets so big on the inside, you've been saying it all the time, but that moment will come. That moment will bring on up here. Bring up here, brother. That moment will come. And when it does, you ain't nobody got to tell you. You'll know. You may be a soldier in combat. You may be in the middle of a car deal. You may be in doing this, doing that. You may be right in the middle of a message you're preaching sometime. And all of a sudden, it is time to put things straight in the realm of the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. Sweetheart, ain't it about time to get rid of this?
Yes.
I believe it with all my heart.
Yes.
Amen. Gloria, would you come help me, please?
Yes.
First thing I want you to know is that I love you.
Yes.
I love you.
Yes.
And that Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yeah. Lord Jesus. Honor us with this miracle. We thank you so. As a minister of the gospel, assigned by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the gospel and heal the sick, I take authority over this sickness and disease and every spirit of death that's behind it. I rebuke you and I cast you out of this body. And in the name of my Lord and my Savior, I heal this body from the top of its head to the sole of its feet. Be blessed and made well to the glory of God the Father. Now, Gloria, you minister.
I prayed for her today.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
Amen.
She's healed in
the name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Commanded to be whole in the name.
Come here, man.
Of Jesus.
You know the Lord?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Lord,
all right.
I've been with you for a long time.
Well, I don't amount to nothing, but Jesus that's living in you does.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Now the anointing that's on me does amount to something.
Yes, sir, it does.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
as a prophet of God and as a minister of the gospel,
yes,
the anointing that's in me and on me now, yes, I impart to you.
Yes.
And I sow it in you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the good and for the betterment of humanity.
Yes, yes.
Accept that, that you've been called to do.
I believe.
And rise up and do those things that God has called you to. And you'll not only preach His word, but you'll stretch forth your hands and you'll bless mankind. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, is this your mama?
No, sir. I met her daughter Thursday night.
Good.
Listen, I'm sitting up there and I'm listening. You tell all these stories. I leaned over her daughter. I said, take her down there. And I just had to get up and grab her and bring her down here.
Well, now she's one of the stories, so we'll be telling this one before it's over with. Let's just give the Lord praise and thanksgiving. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Come on, Brother Keith. If the Lord's given you anything, well, go ahead and deliver it. After all, this is Saturday night. Glory to God. Amen. When I was out there in the world, you know, we never paid any attention to it while it's still dark. Well, it's still dark. Ain't no use getting in a hurry. Sun ain't up yet.